Good morning, and welcome to the December 3rd edition of Indie Radio, a public affairs program devoted to the indie media movement and activists everywhere. I'm your host, Amanda Bellerby.
They got the radio, they got the TV screen, they got the great muddy waters of the mainstream, with the dollar bill hitting on every word. You're never gonna get your message heard. Over some little buddy with an extra buck could buy a transmitter and try their luck. Pirate airwave democracy, now that seems like a good idea to me. And survival is a counterattack, so let's take our culture back. Let's take our culture back. Let's take our culture back. And get the monkey off of your back and take our culture back.
Today on Indie Radio, we'll be talking with Sarah Saunders about the School of the Americas protests.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rains are gonna fall. Oh, what did you see, my blue-eyed son? And what did you see, my darling young one? Saw a newborn baby with wild wolves all around it. I saw highway diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers a-bleeding.
I'd like to thank my new friends at the Atlanta Indie Media Center, which is www.atlanta.indiemedia.org, who are collaborators in today's show. Thank you, Jamie and Vincent and Martha and Gary, for inspiration and audio help. And I also want to thank and welcome anyone who's tuning in today online. Hello out there. It's Indie Media's second birthday this week, so this is an official Indie Media party on the radio. First of all, I'd like to get into our first subject today, which is the School of the Americas. The U.S. School of the Americas, or SOA, trains Latin American soldiers in combat, counterinsurgency, and counter-narcotics. Graduates of the SOA are responsible for some of the worst human rights abuses in Latin America, and among the SOA's nearly 60,000 graduates are notorious dictators Manuel Noriega and Omar Torrijos of Panama, Leopoldo Galtiero and Robert Viola of Argentina, Juan Velasco Alvarado of Peru, and Guillermo Rodriguez of Ecuador. Lower-level SOA graduates have participated in crimes that include the assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero and the El Mazote massacre of 900 civilians. 2 weeks ago, at least 7,000 protests gathered at the gates of the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, which has been renamed recently by the Defense Department as the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. The annual protest is organized by a group called SOA Watch and commemorates the anniversary of the massacre of 6 Jesuits, their housekeeper, and her 15-year-old daughter in El Salvador on November 16, 1989. 19 of the suspected 26 killers were SOA graduates. Many had expected participation in the protests to fall this year as a result of the patriotism sweeping the nation in the wake of 9/11 and the war on terrorism. SOA Watch founder Father Roy Bourgeois describes the military school as the terrorist training camp right in our own backyard. We're joined this morning by Sarah Saunders, who is at the protest. Sarah, thanks again for joining us on Indie Radio, and welcome back. Sarah, are you there?
I am here.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Can you tell us about your activism on this issue and when you started getting involved in the struggle to close down the SOA?
Sure. Well, I started Oberlin College in 1999, and before I got there, I had never really done any human rights activism. I'd done a little bit of environmental activism in my own community, but on coming to Oberlin College in Ohio, I got really involved in the Peace Activists League, and they had a very active School of the Americas watch group. And that year, my first November, which was in 1999, one whole busload of students from Oberlin went to the School of the Americas. And then the next May, I participated with 13 other students and people from around Ohio in a small action that we actually did right on the steps of the School of the Americas itself. And so since then, I've been really active in organizing around this issue at Oberlin College and in working more broadly against U.S. foreign policy towards Latin America.
I know that the... How long have the protests been going on, by the way?
They've been going on since 1990. It was started the year after the Jesuits were massacred with a 40-day fast that was at the gates of the school, of the base where the school is located.
Right. And it's always been there, right, at Fort Benning?
That's correct. It was changed a little bit this year, but we were actually able to hold our protest in that same location.
And how long has the school been around?
The school was opened initially in Panama, and that was in 1946, but even then it had a really horrible reputation for human rights abuses, and it was moved in 1984 to its current location on Fort Benning in Georgia. And the reason why it was moved is because the Panamanian government called it a school of assassins, a name which has stuck.
Really, the Panamanian government called it that?
That's correct.
Yeah, there's a very good book called The School of the Assassins. Do you know the writer?
I do. His name is Jack Nelson Pallmeyer, and I actually had the pleasure of giving that book to the new current director of the School of the Americas, or the Western Hemisphere Institute, as it's now called, this January. He was really interested in what that would have to say, and I hope that he read it.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. Speaking of him, let's go ahead to some audio. The folks in Atlanta did send me a whole lot of audio from the protests and from different press conferences and stuff. So let's go and hear what Mr. Commandant has to say, and then hopefully you can give us some comments on it, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back. It's a little David Rovitz to start us off.
Word spreads from town to town. Every day a new voice sounding. Shut the school of torture down. We are gathered here today. Put our bodies in harm's way. At the school of death and shame. No more murder in our name. We are gathered.
You know, what's ironic to me is that their protesting institute that promotes democratic values, advances respect for human rights and the rule of law, and I know those are the very same objectives that these protesters that just walked onto post and these folks in the procession have, and I'm just puzzled why we can't dialogue and work together to achieve that same objective together, as opposed to them protesting an institute that's trying to achieve the very same goal they're working towards.
Do you have comments about the bill in Congress?
Which bill is that?
The one that had tried to close down the SOA when it was still SOA?
Well, you know, I'm the commandant of the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. School of America's, in case you didn't know it, closed on the 15th of December of last year. And we're a very different organization. A new mission focus and a whole range of things that are very different. And so I really can't comment on what happened with the School of Americas. I've invited numerous times Father Bourgeois and Soul Watch speakers to come on to speak to our classes, because I think that's democracy in action.
What do you say to the Pentagon comments where they say that it's purely a cosmetic change from the SOA to the WHISC?
Well, I'll just have to tell you, we have a very different organization. We have a new mission focus, our focus is for the future. It's to ensure that our students can confront the challenges they face in the 21st century. Now, the School of the Americas was focused on the threats of the last century. We're focused on the future, and we're trying to make sure that our courses enable our students to prepare for themselves for the leading edge of what they face. What are those challenges? It's peacekeeping. It's disaster relief. It's counter-drug operations. It's those kinds of operations that require police forces, military forces, and civilian agencies all to work together. That's the kind of focus we have. Be delighted for any of you to come out to find a little more about what we do and how different we really are.
And that was Richard Downey, who's the commandant of the School of the Americas. So, Sarah.
Yes.
What did you think about what he had to say?
Well, he responds to the accusation that the changes to the School of the Americas are cosmetic in the same way that all of the commanders there do, and even the military police who I've talked to. And it basically amounts to them not really saying much about what those changes are. Just like on the new website of the WISC, the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, it doesn't give that information anymore about what the courses are or even what they include. But I know that in the past at the School of the Americas, the courses that were offered are very similar to the courses offered now. There was one that was offered when it was called the SOA, called Peace Operations, but that class was about military intelligence and psychological operations, and it was about controlling the civil populations, doing things like roadblocks. Doesn't sound like a very democratic way of governance to me.
And what about his assertion that he wants people to come in? I mean, later on, later in that press conference, he was inviting all the indie media reporters to get an appointment and come and tour the base and come and speak with their instructors. Mm-hmm. Have you ever taken them up on that?
No. I was in Georgia, and I vigiled for 2 weeks last January during a month-long fast that was going on outside the gates of Fort Benning. And Richard Downey made that offer to the people who were there outside the base fasting, and he offered that we could come in once the school was opened because it had just opened and didn't have any students yet, and he invited us back to come and speak to his classes. But I think that the tour and the experience that we would have on such a controlled adventure onto the base might not be what is really like every day. And I also don't think that it would do very much for me to learn anything. It would be more for the public image of the base to say, you know, we're working with protesters, although really they're not working with us at all.
Yeah, it was pretty disingenuous of him to say that he doesn't know anything about the School of the Americas, that he only knows about this new incarnation of it. I mean, I thought that he's saying, well, I am the new guy, and this is what we do with this horrendous history, you mm-hmm. know, and a congressional, you know, bill to try and shut it down, which he just brushed off. So it seemed pretty obvious that it was sort of a PR expression to me. But, you've spoken with him, so I just wonder what your feeling about it was.
Yeah, I just think that the movement that has happened so strongly over the past 11 years to close the School of the Americas was actually starting to work because of the bill in 1999 that almost passed, which was to close the school entirely, to cut the funding for it. And so that when this name change closed, it's sort of the Defense Department's hope that they will still be able to continue these covert operations and training Latin American soldiers to go back and commit human rights abuses in their countries.
So where do the students come from? I mean, I know they come from Latin American countries, but who are they?
Well, right now the two biggest countries who are sending students to the School of the Americas are Mexico and Colombia. I know that Colombia has had over 10,000 soldiers trained at the School of the Americas, and that's where the most largest right now drug operation in Latin America is happening with U.S. help, and it's called Plan Colombia.
Right. So can we talk about the demonstrations that just happened mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago? How you've been to other protests at the School of the Americas before, right?
I have. I actually realized that this was the sixth time in 2 years that I've been to the School of the Americas.
Wow, that's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
Where are we talking to you from, by the way?
You're talking to me from Michigan.
From Michigan.
Yeah.
And so you're not in school right now, but you're...
I'm not. I actually spent some time traveling this semester and also studied for a month in Guatemala and did an internship. So this is sort of the end of my travels.
Well, and last time you were on the show, you had been to Colombia, so you've certainly been getting out to these countries that you're doing some work for. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how were the protests this year? How were they different?
Well, the protests were tried very hard to be canceled, actually, by the police of the city of Columbus. There was an indictment served 3 days before the protest against four of the people who work in SOA Watch as staff members, and that was on Wednesday before the demonstration to be on Saturday and Sunday. And so this indictment said that those four people would be arrested if anyone at all gathered or marched in the city of Columbus. And so there were negotiations going on about where people could protest or if there could even be a protest, and it was decided by the city of Columbus that the only place a demonstration was going to be allowed was in a baseball stadium. And that's actually what ended up happening for Saturday, but the injunction was denied by a federal judge on Friday. And so on Sunday, we were actually able to hold the demonstration outside the gates of the School of the Americas, or outside the gates of Fort Benning, on the road leading to the School of the Americas. But even that was a really different scene because the police, the military police, had constructed a fence across the place where people usually nonviolently walk across a line by the thousands. And across this road was a fence that was 10 feet high and 1,000 feet long to sort of stop our path.
This is Amanda Bellerby. You're listening to Indie Radio and on Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, KZYX and Z. My guest today is Sarah Saunders, and we're talking about the School of the Americas. Another thing that I've heard from this audio is that the police claim there have never been any arrests, which I thought a little strange. How many arrests have there been over these 6 years you've been going?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've only been going for 2 years.
Oh, that's
right.
This is
my third November demonstration. But last year, there were about 2,000 people arrested. In previous years, thousands more. And I know that over 50 people have served federal prison time for protesting the School of the Americas. This year already, 14 people have been charged and are expected to be prosecuted.
Yeah, let's talk more about that, how they're being dealt with. I was reading on the SOA website, which is SOA Watch website, which is www.soaw.org, that some protesters who had been arrested last November were dealt some very harsh sentences earlier this year, some six-month sentences to an 88-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty harsh. How did it play out this year?
Well, the people who are being charged so far were selected at random from the people who crossed the line, because this year, since there was a fence, it felt to a lot of people like a much more creative space, because there wasn't this scripted funeral procession or even procession across the line, and so small affinity groups crossed the line. Or even individuals, by walking around the fence, some by crawling under the fence because there was some room, because there was a ditch that it went over. And so it was very intentional, all the people who were arrested, and many of them went limp and were cheered by people from behind the fence. And I know that 14 of them so far are being charged. And those 14, as far as I know, all of them went limp. And the interesting thing is that many other people also went limp, but they are facing an additional charge, which is resisting an officer, which carries an additional six-month sentence. So I know that these 14 people, all of whom except two are under 26, are facing up to a year in federal prison, and many of them have never even been to the School of the Americas before.
Well, they're definitely not wanting people to be doing this anymore.
Yeah.
So last time you were on the program with Laurel Padgett-Seekins from our neighborhood here in Anderson Valley, we were talking pretty much strictly about Plan Columbia. How involved is the SOA in Plan Columbia?
Well, Plan Columbia is this $1.3 billion aid package to Columbia, and although not all of that money has been used yet, there's another bill already in Congress. But the implementation of Plan Columbia in the southern region of Colombia where it is taking place, which is called Putumayo, that is under the control of a general named Mr. Montoya, and he is a graduate of the School of the Americas.
And are a lot of other graduates there?
I know that in many of the battalions, probably most of the battalions in Colombia, many of the soldiers have been trained at the School of the Americas. It's interesting because most of that $1.3 billion of aid that is supposed to be going to Colombia to supposedly fight the war on drugs is going to companies in the United States that manufacture military weapons and products such as the Black Hawk helicopter, which is made by the Sikorsky Corporation. And the training that happens with Sikorsky's Black Hawk helicopters happens at a school that is a sister school to the School of the Americas, and it's called the base is called Fort Rucker, and it's in Alabama, and the battalion is called the Helicopter School Battalion, and so that's where those helicopters are coming from.
It's a pretty cozy relationship then.
It is.
Yeah, it's interesting that they renamed it this Hemispheric Security Institute. It just really parallels for me the agenda of the neoliberal, you know, corporate globalization people, because it's almost like they renamed the SOA just in time for the Free Trade Area of the Americas negotiations, because, you know, they in the press conference with Commandant Downey, he was saying that, oh, they're offering a lot of classes in English now, and there are a lot of people from Canada and Mexico and the Caribbean coming because it's a hemispheric alliance now, and it really feels to me like enforcing this new world order,
mm-hmm.
Which is these folks play the role of the enforcers for these deals.